You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
We start this week's podcast with a moment's silence for all the League of Ireland journalists and Twitter admins everywhere. Duffer is gone. Why, Duffer, why? Gary, what has he done?
Just something dramatic. big surprise, has to be said. Was something that I saw on Twitter Sunday morning. It was kind of rumbling around. I was like, can't be true. But it came to pass that day. And yeah, big surprise, has to be said. But going to be interesting to see his next move and when that happens. Might tell a bit of a better picture. I thought, I know there's the idea like he didn't give much, or it was quite quiet about the manner in which, you know, it was quite reserved, or there's just some talk about like, what was it, or is this just Twitter shite, but about how he, I've taken you as far as I can take you, or whatever, that type of stuff. But no matter what way you slice it, he still walked out the day before a game and 2 weeks before a European adventure. So that's not good. And kind of goes against the shite, all the shite he was saying for the last couple of years.
Yeah, this is Between the Stripes LOI podcast, series 9, episode 19. You're with Kieran Burke and Gary Riley. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. But we're obviously starting the show with the big story of the season so far, really. Damien Duff's shock exit from Shelburne. I suppose there was signs in recent weeks that maybe there was some cracks starting to emerge. Obviously, he's had the rows with Bradley and with Reynolds, but it was the interview Friday, really, wasn't it, that kind of made people sit up and think, Jesus, this is taking a different direction now, because, as you said, he's always been a man in the media, defend his players, you know, I'll die for these players, I'll die for this club, I'll never manage anyone else, etc. But was there a sense that he kind of chucked the players under the bus a little bit on Friday with his post-match comments?
To a degree, maybe, but you know, like, you know, it's often said, like, you have to, there's multiple ways to skin a cat, and one of them is to, you know, maybe dig out a few lads in the media when you're asked about it, to get a bit of a boost, because they haven't been good this season. So I suppose you're going to a few different locations to try and get a reaction of some description, but I don't think it was that bad. One thing we've said before, and I've referenced it a couple of times, it's not like when he was playing. Players are different people than what, probably a considerable number of the players that he was playing with would have came from a bit less and would have had a different type of player around him as well. So like, we'll say when Duffer was playing in the noughties, you know, he would have had senior players back then, would have been, you know, could have been mad lads altogether, if you know what I mean, you know, 20 a day and a whole lot from, you know what I mean, like, they were just different animals. So I suppose when there's different motivations for people nowadays, and maybe he wasn't able to get the same tune that he might have been able to get last year. So you know, we were speaking to a manager before, and he was like, you know, I can't hammer a lad, we're training in the evening time after he does a day of work, listening to, you know, his own management in his work day, and then he comes out, bursts himself to get out to training, to burst himself again, and then he's another lad on his case. Yeah. So I think, you know, there's a couple of points there. Maybe he wasn't able to get the same tune out of the players, and he wasn't able to get them up. But like, then again, last Monday, he was bowing down to his own fans, and everybody was great, and everybody was a top lad. And now look at it. So It's really hard to make sense
of
it.
Like he's such a complex character. It's hard to know if he's been thinking about this or whether he just woke up Saturday morning and said, I have enough.
Is he that complex? We're going on as if like this is one of the greatest thinkers in the game. You know, he's won a League of Ireland Premier Division and fair play to him for that. But like, you know, this morning that's been going on and like, oh, the talking and the this and the that.
But like, I think that's contributed to it. To me, he looks burnt out. And like the tired. Fall outrage every week. What am I going to complain about today in the media? What am I going to? Who am I going to have a row with here? That has to be draining. Has to have taken its toll.
Yeah, it does. And he kind of referenced that there with when he was talking about the wife. One of the interviews, like, what is he gonna be saying now? But I don't know. Did he get too involved with that?
Yeah,
to a degree. Like you know, I think.
But you were just about to say about Rennie.
Yeah.
Like he took flack for it, but maybe it's worked in the long term. When you see what's happened now, earlier in the season when he was under extreme pressure, he sent out other people. I think Stephen O'Donnell did a lot of the interviews, or maybe Pender was it.
Yeah, I think
he took himself away from the media and just kept the head down. And Duff was always front and center, doing multiple interviews after every game. And as I said, putting a lot into the interviews, like not your average, you know, we played well, or we could have done like real emotional stuff, like, and that has to have drained him. And I think that to me, he looks just drained and tired and probably needs a break.
That's 100% true. But also, like you're saying, you know, he's putting everything into an interview, like, which could have been after a 1-1 draw in Finn Harps.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? On a Tuesday. Like, it's actually not that deep, lad. It's just, you know, I appreciate it, love it. And, you know, I love football. but, like, do you need to be going on about the way he was going on? I think it did contribute to the burnt outness that you're commenting on there. I'm just not a big fan. I think it really, I don't know if it puts him down in my eyes, but it does a bit, because the way he was going on, everybody that he had was the best player he'd ever seen. The best midfield, the best keeper, the best this. These are my, you know, brothers. I love them. I care about them. I will only manage Shelburne. I'll only do this. I will die for these people. And then the day before a game, he's gone.
Hmm.
That's
does, not good. Does what happens next maybe kind of affect that as well, how you view him? Like, if these reports about maybe going as Brentford number two are to be believed, then that's probably not something that's just happened out of the blue. Like, has his head been turned? Again, he kind of gave the impression he was, no, Ireland was his lot. He was happy to be at home with the family. No interest in coaching abroad. I think he said that. I'm not misquoting him, I don't
think. But wasn't he working with Celtic?
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't want to be on my family and I don't want to be here anymore. We want to go back to Ireland. And that was an important thing for him. And I respected that at the time. Now, let's bear in mind, right?
But just to finish my point, if in the next few days he's announced as Brentford's number two, I think a lot of people will feel how what you've expressed there. If we don't see Duff take a job now for a good while, then I think you have to respect, if the man is burnt out, then there's no point in him turning up the training and not giving it 100%.
Right.
Like, he needs to be 110% all the time. That's his style. It's all, you know, and that's what's contributed to maybe him leaving in the manner that he has. But you can respect that and say, look, it wasn't working anymore. He stepped away. That's fine. But if he goes and takes another job now quite quickly, then I think a lot of people will say, yeah, he's walked out overnight before the biggest tie they've had in 20 years in the Champions League. Like, that's, I mean, they win, that's a very winnable Champions League tie against Linfield. They win that. You're very close to the group stages of the Conference League. So they could have finished seventh or eighth in the league. If they get into the group stages of the Conference League, that's a hugely successful season.
It is, yeah.
He's walked away from that, potentially. But
yeah, he has, right? And that's okay, right? But let's not call a spade, to be an assistant manager in the Premier League in the UK, in England. You know, like is anybody going to genuinely go, oh, he can't leave Shelburne for that job?
No.
No. So, like, yeah, it's not great, the timing, and that's what's, you know, I've had to listen to this pony for the last few years about how everybody's great, have the best players, the best midfield, best everything, everybody's great. And then the day before a game, no matter what game it is, he walks away. And yeah, I don't really care where he goes next. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, he owes Shelburne something or fans or anything like that. He owes nothing to nobody. But I just don't think it's fantastic that he's done it in that way, no matter where he goes next. Like, if he turns up tomorrow or FAI announce him as manager replacing Heimer, great. Yeah, who wouldn't want to manage their country? But there's a way of doing it. After all his shite for the last few years, that's not the way to do it.
Yeah, well, look, again, that's all speculation. We have absolutely no idea where he's going, if he goes anywhere. As we know, he didn't need this job. He thrust himself into it and got very attached to it and very involved with it. And he's been great for the league. And I think we can talk about that in a minute or two. But
we talk about it now. Like, we've talked about it. Like, I don't really know. Like, there's no point in labouring it. Like, our sports journalists in Ireland might do for the next few days, but and have been doing. Make no mistake, he has contributed massively to the League of Ireland.
Mm.
There's no doubt about that. We've seen him up close. We've seen him at games. That famous preseason game where they filled in Longford last season. And you could really see what he was trying to do, and like, he was nearly trying to be on the field as much as he could with the players and making sure they were doing the right things and all of that stuff. I'd say the players loved working with him, you know, and he probably raised the standards within Shelburne a lot. But, you know, he was fantastic for the league. And, you know, he always had, like, I would say, you look on social media, any posts about him or news articles or videos or anything, like, the numbers they do are insane.
Mm.
You know, so he's always adding more eyes, more talking points and stuff like that. So he was fantastic for the league, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's mad though. Like, we'll probably wrap up on this shortly, but when he first came in, me and you were among a large group of people, but let's not show you away that we got it wrong. Well, we kind of got it right in the end, but 3.5 years later than expected. We said that something like this would happen in the first 6 months. You know, he's going to turn up, something's going to sour him, and he'd be gone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But 3.5 years later, he was still there and he won a league title. But this is kind of the ending that we all thought would happen at some point.
Yeah, and to a degree, I think, like, I'm not going to say we were right in the end even, because I don't think that's necessarily fair. That, yeah. I know, yeah. But, like, he won a league. He got to a cup final and lost.
Mm.
He did extremely well. There's no question about that. And I'd say, like, to be a diehard Shells fan, it would have been great for the last few years on that journey.
Yeah.
I'd hate to follow him.
To be the next man in.
Who's going to follow him?
Well, we'll move to that part of it. Like, Joey O'Brien is obviously the front runner, I suppose. There's a continuation policy there, maybe. It's maybe the natural choice. I think there's talk that he doesn't have a pro license, but that can be obviously fixed quite easily. For me, if O'Brien says, I don't want to take it or whatever, maybe the only man for that job is Kevin Doherty. Drogheda fans would kill me for saying that, and it'd be a big job to get him out of there. But with everything that's happened recently, he's a Shells man. I know he said recently to me in an interview that he's a Drogheda man now as well, but he is a Shells man. Everyone knows that connection to the club. Yep. I know he had a crack at it before, but the club was in a very, very different place.
Yeah.
I've been saying for a long time, even before he won the cup and before the start of this season, that I'm surprised more of the bigger clubs in the league, again, no disrespect to Drogheda, they're cup winners, they are a big club in their own right, but I'm surprised that more of the bigger clubs have been sniffing around them in the last couple of seasons.
I think what you said already, it'd be quite hard to pull him away, has been a feature in the last few years for Kevin. I think he probably enjoyed his time and he was quite successful with Drogheda. I know there's always a few relegation concerns in the last few years, but he always did really well. Took over from Tim Clancy after winning the first division there's been a lot of like really high points, and you know, he's been there for a few years now, and it's been really successful. So I'd say it would have been a job to get him out of there, and particularly with qualifying for Europe, sorry drugs fans, but it would have been near impossible this season. Well, obviously, he was going for the Bose job, wasn't he? I wouldn't think Kevin Doherty, because I think he's very happy in Drogheda and wants to stay there.
So we will see.
Any early talk about it apart from Joey O'Brien?
Don't think so.
Oh, people are just so shocked; they don't know what to do. Okay.
Final word on Duff before we wrap this up. He's not blameless either in the drop-off that they've had this season. We've spoken about it that for whatever reason, he seemed to move away from the style that was so successful last season. They're trying to play more ball. Hasn't really worked. His signings, we were concerned with some of the signs. I know we were excited about Meepo in the first couple of games, but it just hasn't worked so far. Now, will he come good? I don't know. He's getting a lot of stick from Shells fans at the minute. But we looked at two signings in particular. Now, one of them has started to play well in the last few weeks, funny enough, Daniel Kelly, and I know he came in injured, so that's fair enough, but I know we weren't that keen on that signing. And Ryan McCain was one I mentioned at the time that I think we both felt was a very strange signing, but the thing everyone was saying, oh, well, he's a winger, and Duff, you know, Duff knows a good winger, and he'll get the most out of him. He's barely kicked the ball.
Yeah.
So the signings haven't worked. We spoke about as well, Paddy Barrett been injured, and we kind of knew from last season Sam Bowen is not going to be the man to replace Malloy, or, you know, if Barrett gets injured. He didn't go and get a centre-half in the off-season.
No.
So there's a lot of things there that didn't go right for Duff in terms of recruitment, in terms of tactics. So I know there's this argument going on within the fan base. You know, have the players let him down? There's fault on both sides. I think Duff's not faultless in what's happened this season. As great as his achievements have been at the club, he's made mistakes this season. I'm sure he'd be the first one to admit that.
Oh, I think so. I think there's been a lot of I think the transfer policy or the transfer performance has been quite poor.
Very.
Over the last few years. If maybe they'd done a bit better in the transfer window, they might have sealed up that league title beforehand. There were, who was your boy's name that went off last summer?
Will Jarvis.
Yeah. Like, they were very good loans that they got in. And I know they made Harry Wood permanent. Mm. But I think, like, we've seen that, like, a lot of things have been tried and nothing really has come to pass. Who was that lad that they brought in? Not the last season, the season before that, the striker. And he was in the league before.
Oh, Aidan O'Brien?
No.
No, he wasn't in the league before, but I thought that's who you were talking about. No. The season before that. Jeez, I don't know.
Oh, who did he play with? No, he was dirt. And I think he scored one or two goals the whole season.
Right.
I just can't remember his name. John O'Sullivan was an interesting one. You know, I was poor at Bowes. You know, I'm just looking down through it. Like, I don't know.
I'm trying to look through their 2023 squad here to see who you might be talking about. But go on, continue your point.
You know, they became reliant on Sean Boyd, who was never prolific, but did quite well for Shells, definitely got the best out of him. Signing Ryan Tulloch, for example.
Yes.
Another strange signing.
Yeah.
Daniel Kelly, the strangest of them all. Sam Bowen, as you mentioned. Just not great signings that I was never too confident on. And I'm not saying like players let him down or anything like that. I just don't think like the quality... he was able to attract the necessary quality, which is nearly strange to say considering who he is.
Yeah, the pulling power.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look, that's Duffer for now. We're going to have Tommy Barrett on the show a little bit later on to speak about Damien Duff's exit from the league and also to speak about Treat United's great start to the season under Tommy. So, one manager goes, but another manager joins us on the pod a little bit later on. We're going to have a bit of a breakdown of the Friday-Monday fixtures. It was a very, very busy few days in both the Premier Division and the First Division. So as we always do when we have these double fixture weeks, we will talk about who the big winners were, the big losers were, and who just was in the middle of the road somewhere. And just to run you through the fixtures in case you've been under a rock the last few days. Friday night, Drogheda United 1, Sligo Rovers 0. Great response to from Drogheda, everything that's gone on. Waterford 2, Bowes 1. Shells 0, Derry 1. That was the end of Duff. Rovers 4, Cork City 1. That one went to the script, as most people expected. Galway 3, Pats 1. I think we'll be talking about another manager in a minute. Monday night then, the Derby. Bowes do it again. 2-0 winners against Rovers to very much keep the title race alive. Waterford 2, Shells 2, the first game without Duffer. Cork City 1, Drogheda 1. There was a bit of an incident after that we'll talk about as well. Pats 0, Derry 1. And Sligo Rovers won the Connacht Derby against Galway 2-1. There was a red card for each team as well. That was a proper humdinger. We'll start with the winners from those match days. And you'd have to look at Bowes straight away. I know they were beaten on the Friday night, which would have been disappointing. But to win the Derby last night, they've got two games in hand. You know, it does keep the title race interesting. So whenever you win a Derby, I think whatever's gone on in the previous game, it's very quickly forgotten about. It was a very, very good double fixture week for Bowes.
Yeah, look, obviously it could have been better. There's no doubt about that. But I think the main point of the weekend is definitely beating Shamrock Rovers again.
And a proper performance too. Now, I've only seen bits and pieces of the game back because obviously we were at the game ourselves last night. A really good derby too, which we'll be talking about later on. But even if you look at the second goal they scored, the football, the one and two touch passing, it looked like a proper Bowes performance last night.
100%. I have to say it was... you know, if you look through the highlights, the pressing is perfect. Really causing problems for Shamrock Rovers all over the pitch, and supporting each other. I thought it was just a really, really top performance from what I saw of it anyway. I think, though, no matter what way you cut it, they've beaten Rovers three times this season. From such a low start for Bowes this season, they've really turned it around, and you have to credit them that there's no doubt about that. But they seem to be really together and one big unit. So,
and all the talk about Noel Grehan and to get a clean sheet against a Rovers team that were banging goals in for fun, scored 4 on the Friday going into this. You know, that'll do the confidence the world of good up there. So, I think, yeah, look, we've obviously been critical of Bowes. Bowes fans themselves very critical of Rennie earlier in the season, but you've got to be impressed with the dramatic turnaround there. Another big winner from the weekend for me was Drogheda United. I know they conceded the late goal last night, but after everything that's gone on, to win on Friday against Sligo Rovers and then to look pick up a point again last night, they're still in those European places. I think you have to look at the context of this, and as I said, everything that's gone on over the course of the week. I know they played the Rovers game after that news about Europe broke, but that was like the same day. They didn't have that much time to digest it. They've had a week to sit around thinking about what's gone and what's got away from it. To come out and respond in the manner they did, I think that's hugely impressive once again. And we were speaking about Kevin Doherty earlier on. I think one of his great features and assets as a manager is his motivational skills. I know he's spoken to us about that in the past, that, you know, using things that are said on podcasts and are said in the papers and getting them to the dressing room wall. That's his approach. And we spoke about Duff's approach to things earlier on. That's Doherty's approach. He likes to poke the players with something and get them up and energize. And he's done something again this week to get them up from the canvas.
Well, he has done. But like, I think over the last few years, you've seen that ability from the management team there. They've been well able to get them up. They've had some really unlucky games in the last few years, which probably put them down the table. Maybe, well, the table never lies, but, like, you know, there were some like really unlucky points and unlucky games, but they were able to drag it out and pick themselves up and go again all the time. So that has to be, credit has to be given to Kevin for and the team for that. But it has been a tough week, and I think you're right to put them into the winners column on this busy weekend.
They beat Sligo Rovers on Friday, but for Sligo to come out and win the Connacht Derby last night, and also to see Cork, I know Cork picked up a point last night, but they still lost ground on Sligo as a result of Sligo winning. So Sligo winners for me over the few days.
Absolutely. It's becoming, like I would say, there's a bit of a gap there now. I know it's only 4 points, but with the way the team, those two teams are going and struggling to pick up points, it's that gap might be very important as the season goes on. I think obviously there's no real way of either team getting out of that relegation dogfight. So it's really down between the two of them, and it's going to be probably nip and tuck for the rest of the season. But I think, as I've kind of felt all season, that Sligo are going to squeeze out of it. Now, obviously, that's pending the upcoming window, but I don't know. I just don't see enough in Cork.
We're going to be talking about Cork shortly, but I mean,
for Sligo,
just two very contrasting camps at the minute. Sligo seem to be together, rolling the sleeves up, ready to do what they have to do, and Cork are killing each other.
Well, that seems to be it. Like, and like we'll say, there was a, I think there was a poor enough attendance there.
Brutal.
Last night.
1800.
Something like that. Yeah. And you're just, the price of it. And then the shite you're looking at, you know, it really adds up to be a ball of dirt.
And look, we'll go to Cork now. I know we're skipping across, but you just want to run it. Like, the atmosphere within the ground as well, lots of chants against the owner. We want Usher out. We want our club back. All this type of thing. There was a banner. I know we shared an image of it on the socials earlier on. That's not what you need when you're in a relegation dogfight, as we say. You know, you need unity around the place. And Cork is very divided right now with the looks of things.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think that's not really helpful right now, because, you know, this idea we want our club back, like, yeah, that's great, but Dermot Usher saved the club not too long ago.
They voted to sell it to him at the end of the day.
Yeah, because, well, wasn't he the only suitor at the time?
Remember, there was the whole thing with the Preston.
Your man died or whatever that happened. Yeah, so, like, you know, at least it was a lad there in front of you and you could do business with him to a certain extent. But I think, you know, that's not really helpful at this time. And I don't know how they're going to get out of it. Like, he's going to have to do... It seems to be all pointed towards Usher anyway.
Mm.
And no matter what way he cuts, like, unless he brings in a load of ringers in the summer to get them out of this, he's not going to win.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get relegated. And it's going to be another, you know, really good season in the first division and then another season of pain in the Premier Division and another relegation.
We, as I said, shared an image. There was a banner at the game last night that was held up. It said, "Nero fiddled while Rome burned, three seasons in, F all learned." So we asked Cork City fans, what's gone wrong? And some of the replies that we got, Garrett says...
A nuanced opinion here.
Garrett says, "What's gone wrong? Have you time for about 20 tweets? We have an owner who promised loads to get the club and now he hasn't a clue what he's doing. He's more interested in shutting down a fans-based podcast than the club, charging €25 for a ticket. He alienated fans." Mick says, "Fans want a bigger playing budget but not higher ticket prices. They want to watch players on higher wages but not pay for them. Who sold the club to Dermot Usher? The fans were desperate to sell €1 deal to Trevor Hemmings before Usher came along." So
yeah,
there's split views on this. There's a Hearts fan as well saying that the Cork City fan base is very, very fickle. But going back to the Cork fans, Jack says, "We don't have enough time for that, lads." Billy says, "Fans being left in the dark, below par squad again. Probable relegation, piss poor defending, too many loanees. The lights have gone out of Turner's Cross. The crack has disappeared. We love our club. Seemingly our club doesn't love us back. Total disjoint at the moment." Season ticket holder. Donica says, "Budget at the start of the year not big enough. Tried to get away by using loans, of which most bar Troost and Nelson haven't worked. Players brought in haven't been good enough. Owner probably too involved in the football side of the club. Not enough focus on football and matters." Queveen says, €25 for a League of Ireland side is criminal, and especially for a club that's ambition was to stay up. He doesn't engage with fans. How his previous business survived is beyond me, considering fans and customers are one of the same. Absolutely no ambition to move the club forward." Anthony says, "Dermot is a bored millionaire who treats Cork City as his plaything. The guy is playing football manager in real life. interfering and micromanaging every aspect of the club. He's had two permanent managers before Nash, and both walked out mid-season because of him. Look, these are fans' opinions, but yeah, that's just to bring you a sense of the feeling down there at the moment. Again, this is not the energy you want around a club when you're trying to stay up in any division of any football league.
No, it's not. But like, it's difficult to under, like, some of them comments there are like, you know, the micromanagement stuff of that. And in some respects, like, remember there was all that grief with the fans last year and people in blocks or some of this rubbish.
Yeah.
Wristbands and all that. Yeah. Gina, I actually forgot about the wristband stuff. Mother of God. Like that's, an owner shouldn't even know that that's happening, really. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, he should to a degree, but also he needs to be getting results on the football pitch for his own sake. Like, I don't think Dermot Usher is going like, oh yeah, I'd really love to buy this club, peg him whatever money he's pegging into it. I know Cork fans aren't saying it's enough or whatever. And then like, oh yeah, I want them to lose. I want the thing that I'm spending my time looking at and micromanaging at to fail. I think it's just a bit more difficult than that. And it's not that easy to come up out of the First Division and stay in the Premier Division. It's not that handy. So I don't really know what I know. I know what the fans are looking for. They're looking for cheaper tickets, more money spent on the players, and better results on the pitch. Same as every club. But I think it's just not that handy to crack that code.
And like, we've seen multiple owners in there, we've seen different models, we've seen the fans owning it,
we've seen multiple clubs.
That's what I mean. It hasn't been sustainable for probably 30 years, and it's one of the best supporter clubs in the country. I know they don't own the ground, but they've got a wonderful facility there.
It hasn't worked since 1984 when this version of Cork was set up.
That's the point I'm trying to make. This isn't really new information at Cork City.
We've seen this episode before, I think. Surely to God, that someone has to go around, right, boys, just we've given this a crack for a very, very long time, and we've had to give it multiple cracks, and we're still in a heap. So what's going on?
Yeah.
I don't, you know what I mean? Like
it's not something we're going to solve tonight, I don't think.
No, it's not. It's just, but like, other clubs don't have this palaver.
Maybe not to the same level, yeah.
Yeah, and like the history of it either. Do you know what I mean? Like,
there's a crisis every few years there. Like, it's,
yeah, exactly. I talk about Real Madrid and their pedigree in the Champions League, but 9 times out of 10 they win the bloody thing. This is pedigree in another place, and it's not good pedigree.
Yeah.
Pedigree chum.
As I said, we're not going to solve it tonight, so we'll move on. Waterford, it was a good Friday Monday situation for them. Winners against Bowes. And then on the Monday, they pick up a point against Shells and played quite well in the game. So, yeah, that's another good set of results for them.
Absolutely, yeah. They're still, though, you know, they've had a few nice weekends there, but they're still 8th. Yeah. So it's kind of...
How many points are they off the top 4 now, though?
7.
Yeah, like, they're in touch.
It's achievable. Yeah, it is. Because they are picking up some good results. Hopefully, as time goes on, maybe a couple of incomings in the window could make a few changes and bump them up that league. But
I don't see them being consistent enough, to be honest. But if they're looking at some of the teams above them, they're looking at Pats above them. Like, they seem to be almost in free fall. Shells are in a bit of limbo at the moment. Like, they're probably looking at it and saying, "Well, we've nothing to fear above us. Like, we have to aim at catching these clubs. It's not like they're." They're not in a situation where they're looking over their shoulder right now. They can aim for higher.
They can go for broke. There's no doubt about it. As you said, like, Shells, Pat, anybody, the team above them, Shells, Pats and Galway are all doable. Do you know what I mean? So like, I think they'll be looking to match what those results are and pick off points against them when they can get them. They got a good point last night and a good win on Friday as well. So, what's there to be said?
And I think the biggest winners of the whole lot, because they're the only team to win their 2 games, was Derry City.
Mad. Couldn't believe it. 2-1 nils.
Probably is that surprising either, though? Like, we all went for low score, 0-0, 1-0, Shells, Derry, and then they're playing Pats, who are absolutely stone nothing at the moment. So maybe they're not the most surprising results in the world.
Not surprising. I think you're right there. I did commentary. Was it last time I did commentary in the Shells Derry game?
Yeah, I think that was last year, was it?
Yeah, last August. And, you know,
it was last year because I remember you giving out a stink about Sam Bone.
Yeah, there you go. Good man.
I think it was his first game. It was on telly. It was a dire game.
Dire. And it was just like ping and pass. It was just dirt. And I was kind of thinking of the same again, just considering like we were wondering there a few weeks ago, like how much of Derry progressed since last season. But look, they did progress in this fixture. They won it. Particularly after, this is their first time in Talca since the opening night of the season, I think, when they got filled in.
Yeah.
So good to get one back over on what was Duffer's last game.
Where does that leave Derry now? Leaves them 11
leaves them fourth. Off
top.
Yeah.
We're not really looking at, you know, we're looking at Shamrock Rovers and Bows now, are we?
Well, Derry and Bows have the same games played and they're only 2 points off each other. So, you know, Bows have been really consistent the last few months. Will they be more consistent come the end of the season? That'll be the question.
There's talk at Derry at the moment about like a lot of activity going on in the summer. It's been out there that they're going to have a head of recruitment coming in.
So
there could be a lot going on in the summer there. So maybe if they get it right in the summer, because I still feel that they didn't get it right in the off season, and I think there might be a kind of acceptance of that starting to set in up there. If they get it right in the summer, like, you know, they could really kick on in the second half of the season. I still don't fancy them at this moment in time. I'd
have concerns about how right they're going to get it.
Yeah.
The
appointment will be interesting, that's for sure.
It will be. There's no doubt about it. They need to get it right. Obviously, the same as everybody needs to get it right, but like, it wasn't done very well in the off season, particularly with the money that was pegged away as well. So, yeah.
Well, if they had applied for a UEFA license, they'd have any amount of it. But there you go.
Absolutely good. Good. Really nice goal, I thought, last night. In Richmond Park. I thought it was just a really nice cross and header. But yeah, not great from Pats. It was kind of...
Yeah, well, look, we'll move into the losers list, and they're certainly on that. They lost both of their games. Again, the game last night against Derry was another case of them being absolutely terrible in the first half, and then they left it too late to respond. Did you see the clip as well of Mason Media running away from Mark Connolly at one stage in the game?
No, I didn't see that.
Have a look at that tonight. Jeez, I felt bad for Connolly. absolutely left for dust. Media couldn't just finish it off. But you seen Pats recently, didn't you? Again, was it Bows?
No, it was against Shells.
Against Shells. And again, they were at nothing in the first half. Came alive in the second, but left it too late. Like, you can't keep... And just on the Friday game against Galway, that's the most animated I've seen Kenny in an interview in a long time.
I wonder—is
there a bit of a thing setting in? And again, it's something we've spoken about. Pats fans, some are giving Kenny stick, and others are saying, "Look, these are the same players that got Clancy the boot, that got Daly the boot. Kenny needs to clean them out." I got the sense Friday. I wonder if he's starting to sense there's a few players in that dressing room, a few characters that these aren't the lads I'm going to be going to battle with, going to be going to war with. I wonder if we'll see a bit of movement. Maybe not in this window, but certainly the end of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if he shakes things up a bit.
Yeah, I did see a bit of jibber-jabber around that, all right. Like, let's say one player mentioned was Mulroney. Like, you know...
Well, he's been anonymous this season.
Oh, completely anonymous. Completely.
But he's not the only one.
No, El Buzeri, another one.
Yeah.
A few lads have been anonymous, there's no doubt about it. But, like, you're looking at Mulroney and like someone was like, oh, he went here and he went there and then he got him out of America and, you know, what was he at before then? But then again, you look back last season, he was electric. What's gone on this season? Like, it's
Brandon Kavanagh was even earlier this season. We had him on the show at one stage and he was getting goals and assists by the bucket load, and we've barely heard him mentioned in the last several months.
Yeah. I think the only player that I've seen recently that I was happy with or impressed with was Power.
Mm. Same as that, yeah.
I think he was the only one that was really trying to do something against Shells, and looked like he had the ability and interest in doing it.
Mm.
Like Friday was a disaster. Like, apart from, like, it was comical. The first two goals are a disgrace, from a club perspective. Like the first one, I have to say, what an absolute boot from the keeper. Mother of God, Jesus Christ. It would have landed in the opponent, in the Pats box, if McCarthy wasn't there to take it down. Did really well to take it down, and one touch to kill it, and one touch to put it right into the bottom corner, and Nang had no hope. But you'd have to be going, right, we're 2 minutes in here, let's keep stuff tight, and everybody's just like the refs, you know, oh, what'll I have for the dinner? Will we stop on the bus on the way home, and blah, blah, blah. Just cat. And then what a goal from Hurley.
Mm.
The second one. I've absolutely no idea what Anang was doing there.
Yeah, something we're saying a good bit lately too.
Yeah, on what the hell is he? Why is he even out there? There's loads of other players there's 10 other lads on the team that could be standing in that position. Really good finish. And yeah, it was like, it was cat from Bowes, or from Pats, really. Probably Galway would maybe be disappointed that they didn't have a few more on them, but they really got at them, Galway. But one thing on that, Pats let them.
Mm.
They were get atable, if you know what I mean. And they probably, I'd say, John Caulfield was really looking forward to this fixture, because he knows that Pats are soft.
That's probably true. We've spoken about Cork. They're obviously in the losers column. Shells in the losers column. We'll not spend any more time on them. You know, I know they got a draw last night, but they lost their man, Duffer. So
yeah,
bad weekend for them. And Rovers, okay, pasted Cork, but that was, everyone expected that. They lost the derby. They've given Bowes a bit of belief in the title race. That's a bad set of results for them. Middle of the road, I suppose, Galway, great result against Pats, but then they lose to Sligo last night, so that's not ideal. We're going to move into the first division now. Before we do that, though, we're going to be joined by Tommy Barrett, the Treaty United manager. He's going to talk to us a bit about that big news regarding Damien Duff, and we're obviously going to speak to him about Treaty United's great start to the season. So here's Tommy Barrett on this week's BTS. I'm delighted to say we are joined on the show by the Treaty United manager, Tommy Barrett. Treaty having a really good start to the season, so we're going to catch up with Tommy now. Tommy, good to hear from you. How are you?
Good, Kieran. Thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. Look, we'll get to your Treaty team in a minute, because it's been a good run of form recently in particular. But I suppose the big story in the league over the last couple of days, Damien Duff stepping away from the league as someone who's managing in the league. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, look, I suppose he garnered a lot of interest in the league, and you know, people tuned in. And he did a great job with Shelburne in winning the league last year, you know. So, look, I suppose a bit surprised, but probably looking at some of his interviews, not overly either. In the last number of weeks, you know, you could see he was a bit frustrated. And, obviously you don't want anyone... not losing a job, he walked away from it, obviously, but you know, I think he was good for the league overall, and I'm sure he'll be back in the future somewhere, and we'll pop up somewhere else, you know. So, you know, best of luck to him and wish him all the best in his family.
Yeah, look, I think as you said there, some of his interviews have obviously been in the media a lot recently, and you know yourself as a manager, when things aren't going well, it can be very tiring and very draining. How do you as a manager balance that emotional side of things, like not getting too high and not getting too low? Is that very, very difficult?
It can be, but like, you know, I suppose it all comes down to your personality, and obviously that's been Damien's life for forever, you know. Whereas, you know, I've had the luxury, not the luxury, but the experience of different jobs, and you know, I know people say football is life or death, and, you know, people use language like crisis and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But really, it's not, you know, not football. There's nothing in football that's a crisis. So, you know, you just have to weigh it up and what's happening in the real world. And at the end of the day, it's a, it's an entertainment industry and it should be treated like that. You know, of course I get emotional and I'm passionate about football, but you know, I would from a young age as a young manager and a young player, you know, you'd always just, you'd be emotional in the moment, but you have to reflect on it straight away. And just, I think it's that reflective piece always, Kieran, you know, you just have to calm yourself, take a few breaths and realise that it's just a game, you know, and at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's just a game. And yeah, we take it seriously, but we can't take it too seriously either, you know.
Look, final word on Damien, because we're here to talk about treaty mainly, but it's a big PR blow to the league, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. You know, I think, look, he definitely brought that media attention, and that's always good for the league. But look, there's other really good managers within the league, and you know, and maybe there's a couple of more feuds need to happen to keep people entertained. But
maybe you can help with that. Who can you have? Wayne Groves, yourself and Groves go thumps on the side.
Sure, why not? We manufacture something. Why not? You know. But look, there's real good characters in the league, real good managers. You know, look, John Coffey, Lally Horgan, you know, John Corman seems a good character in the league. You know, Jordan Ash is a good lad, Sean, you know, down in Cork. And Stephen Bradley has been brilliant for the league. You know, we forget about those characters there, like John Coffey, Stephen, Ollie Horgan, still obviously in Galway. Stephen Bradley doing a fantastic job. Rennie is doing a great job in Bowes. You know, Kevin is doing a fantastic job in Kevin Doherty in Drogheda. So, you know, if you look at all those lads and say, you know, these lads are real League of Ireland lads and they're promoting the league for plenty of years, and they probably didn't get the same recognition that Damien got, which, you know, which is understandable given his background. But, you know, you have a lot of great people and even lads before that, you know, Richardson, Dolan, Finlan, all those lads, Keely, they were all, you know, really good characters and really good League of Ireland people who've been fantastic throughout the years. You know, Stephen Hendo, you know, there's a lot of good lads and good coaches that deserve a bit of recognition as well for growing the league for many years, you know. I'm sure I missed a few there.
Roddy was definitely one you missed. Treaty United though.
Roddy's a legend, yeah.
You had your, I suppose, traditional good start again this year, and then you hit that little ropey patch where I think it was 1-8, but 5 wins in your last 9. So you've really got motoring again over the last couple of months. What do you put that down to?
We know it's a long slog, you know, it's 36 games, you know, you just get that bit of momentum and you try to keep it. You know, in the games we lost, I'm very disappointed with our away form. You know, we've lost some silly games away from home that we shouldn't have lost. And, you know, the couple at home that we did lose were games we should have won, you know. I think Longford, you know, it was probably the game, it could have went either way, but, you know, in fairness to them, that match was 50-50 away from home, and, like, we lost it. But, you know, other games we shouldn't have lost, like Bray away, that sticks out, Cove away, sticks out. You know, like, they're two in particular that I felt that we were really poor in, you know. You know, the lads work their socks off, and they're really good, hard-working bunch. But, you know, when you're away from home, sometimes you just have to pick up a point or two on the road. But at home, I think I put it down to our home form. Our home form is really, really good. We're playing really good brand of football at home. And we've been, as I said, the 2 games we lost, we probably should have won as well at home. So, you know, it's our home form is really, really good. We just have to pick up that away form now.
Yeah, we had a bit of a rarity, I suppose, over the weekend in terms of First Division game on Friday, game on Monday. From your point of view, you're working with largely semi-pro or amateur group of players. Is it a massive inconvenience having Friday, Monday games in the First Division?
Yeah, it's not ideal. Look, I made 6 changes on Monday night, you know, so 5 from the previous week, and I put 6 back in on Monday. So, you know, that'll tell you how much it takes its toll out of lads, and you know, I'm happy with the bunch of players, and we have lads that are you know, training 3 and 4 days a week and working their socks off. So you have to give lads opportunities as well. There's no point in having 22, 23 players and not being willing and able to trust them. So you know, I think Dundalk, yeah, it was probably a fair result. Dundalk, I felt, and last night, you know, I think, bar the last 10 minutes, we were the dominant team. We probably should have been 2 or 3 up. But look, we don't take our chances. Wexford, the last 10 minutes, probably could have scored. You know, I think, you know, I'm not huge into the XG, but, like, you know, I think ours was about 2 and theirs is 0.47 or something, and you know, we'd 18 shots and 6 on target. They had like 6 and 2 or something, but you know, they could have easily won the. The bottom line is it was a draw, you know, and it's a game we should have won. And in fairness to them, the last 10 minutes, they'd probably feel they could have won it, you know. So in football, you know yourself, you have to take your chances. And if you don't, you're in trouble. But thankfully, our goal scoring record is quite good and our defensive record isn't terrible. But it's just about putting it all together now and finishing out for the last 15 or 16 games.
Yeah, good man. Stay away from that XG. As you know, me and Gary, absolutely no time for any of that talk on this podcast. So I'm glad you don't lean on it too heavily.
No, I don't. You know, it's just that, look, any of those stats, it don't mean anything really, you know, until you, you know, it's about the two boxes really, isn't it? You know, defending the your own box and scoring in the other one. It's that simple. We can overcomplicate things at times, for sure.
That's it. We're running through on the show at the moment, kind of who were the big winners, big losers, and who kind of had in different sets of results over the two game days there we had. How would you sum up the Monday, Friday results in a few short words?
Yeah, look, I think Dundalk will be feel hard done by a bit, and you know, not hard done by, but certainly they'd be disappointed in the return of 1 point. You know, I'm disappointed, obviously. I thought we should have got 4. Cove will be delighted getting 6 and pegging Dundalk back to a point. So I think they're the big winners. I think, in fairness, Longford, you know, 6 points, didn't they? They did, yeah. So Wexford and the one last night as well against that loan. So, you know, they're the big winners, Longford and Cove, in fairness. And, you know, I think I said that I didn't meet you at the last Longford game, but I had said to Gary, like, that's a good side. That's a good Longford side. They have a lot of threats, you know. You know, look, does anyone, I know I say it every year, but really this year, there's not a whole pile between the teams. You know, there's any team can beat anyone on the day. And I think that's, you know, we can see that there's no one miles ahead and there's no one too far behind either, you know. So it's very close. And, you know, if someone puts a good run together, you never know what can happen.
In saying that, though, I don't think too many had Treaty down to be fourth at this stage of the season. You're probably overperforming again. I know you don't want to delve into budgets and everything, but I'm sure it's one of the smaller budgets in the league. So to be fourth in the league, I know there's a lot of football still to be played. It's still quite impressive. If you were to finish anywhere in that top five, would you sum it up as a big overachievement again this season?
We would, Kieran. Yeah, you know, look, we had a bit of an increase, and but you know, we're delighted with the lads. They really work hard. They're a great bunch of lads, and if we get to the playoffs, happy days. You know, it's fantastic.
Look, I know there's been a bit of politics going on down there, and we won't get into that, but are you disappointed with the crowds recently? They seem to have dropped off. Like, I'm sure gates are very important to a club like Treaty to try and increase the budget for yourself.
Yeah, Kieran, yeah, I wouldn't be too happy with them at all. You know, I think, you know, I've said in a couple of interviews already, I think we should be getting more in the gates. You know, we play a good brand of football, the league has grown. You know, particularly at home, we've been very good. You know, we've scored a lot of goals at home. I know we didn't score the other night, but, you know, even in that, it was a good entertaining game against Wexford. It was some very good football played. It was a decent game for an all. And, we're still not getting the crowds in. So, I don't know which more. Like, the club are doing their best to promote it, and, you know, the league has been promoted everywhere. But I think, look, that generally happens in Limerick in the summer. There's always seems to be a drop off, you know, there's people, or the GA is on, and people go to the weekends away, to go to Kilkee and Ballybunion, and they tend to drop off the crowds, you know, they always have. You know, it's certainly, I think maybe that has some effect, and we haven't got to a stage where we can garner that, you know, 1,000 supporter base. We're at about 500 or 600 regular fans, and we need to grow that to 1,000, 1,500. But yeah, we're working on it.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net, or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, Yeah, thanks to Tommy for joining us. Gary, let's do the same with the First Division. We'll have a look at winners, losers, middle of the road. Friday night, Dundalk won 3-1. Tommy Barrett's Treaty, the only team to take points off Dundalk three times this season. Wexford 0, Longford Town 1. Longford's first away win in almost a full year. Kerry 2, Bray 1. Athlone 0, Finn Harps 0. UCD 0, Cove Ramblers 3. And then last night, UCD 3-1 winners in Bray. Finn Harps beating Dundalk, who suffered their first defeat of the season. Longford won a classic classical against Athlone 3-2. Cove beat Kerry 1-0, just a point off the top. Now they played Dundalk on Friday in Oriel, and Treaty United 0, Wexford 0. Big winners, Cove Ramblers. A point off the top. Would be top if they didn't concede that last minute equaliser against Longford a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Great few days for Cove, there's no doubt about it. They're in spitting distance now. Probably something that we'll be surprised with. But it probably was a surprise that Finn Harps took 3 points off Dundalk in the first place. So
yeah.
Nice little bonus there for Cove. But good weekend for them, really. Particularly that 3-0 win against CCD was lovely. Yeah, good for the town. I know UCD had a good win last night away to Bray, but I think Longford know that they can be got at, so hopefully they'll do it.
Yeah, a great weekend for Longford Town. Finally got the monkey off their back with the away win, and then another weight lifted off their shoulders. There were 11 derbies without a win against Athlone. Wayne Groves hadn't won one in his time in charge, and they finally got the win. Now they made hard work of it, but that was an incredible advert for the First Division last night.
It was a great game. Had everything.
Including atmosphere as well. I know Longford have been ridiculed for small attendances and all the rest, but
yeah,
for a Monday night, the place is bouncing.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe, it just had everything. Good goals. Some terrible, unlucky defending. A penalty, a diabolical referee and performance.
Shocking.
One of the worst now in a while, has to be said. Just comically bad. But yeah, unfortunately that happens. And a winner from Emmanuel Olafemi to do it. Like, he scored a few goals against it all. He took us out a few times now in the last...
Yeah, he got a late equaliser last season. I must look it up, but I'd say nearly all of his goals for Longford have come in the 85th minute or later.
Or later, yeah. No, yeah. He got a goal against UCD up in the bowl there a few weeks
ago. And just on that, actually, remember I said to you a couple of weeks ago, Longford have scored a few late goals this season. You were like, did they? And then I said, well, they've conceded them too. And I was talking about... I just have a feeling that there has been more late goals in the First Division generally this season. So I sent a tweet to Stato LOI earlier on, asking him, could he have a look at how many late goals have been scored this season in the First Division compared to last? And he said there has been 41 goals out of 250 scored in the 86th minute or later this season. That's a percentage of 16.4%. Last season's percentage was 9.9%. So there has been an increase in late goals in the First Division this season.
Thank you very much, Stato LOI.
Yeah, top class
good
work.
Good question, yeah.
Mm.
It's been great. Really adds to the excitement. You know that there's going to be goals late on, or hoping that there are in some cases. But it was great. Just a great weekend for Longford Town. Badly needed.
And a great weekend for Finn Harps. They didn't get 6 points at Longford, but they got 4. Draw against Athlone, a game that I believe they should have won. And then the victory against Dundalk last night. Their goalkeeper, I have to get his name now. Sorry, it's gone fresh out of my mind, but I'll get it here. Local lad making his first team debut. He's come through the academy up there, and he had an absolutely inspired night between the sticks for them. Young Sheridan, Corey Sheridan, 17 years of age. Take a bow.
Yeah, big game to be coming in. He played on Friday as well. But to get the home, it was the home debut, I'd say. Yeah, probably was. So get a clean sheet against the league leaders. And are the top scorers? I'm not actually sure if they are.
I think Treaty might be, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to quick look here. Yeah, Cove are the top scorers.
Ah, okay. Yeah, sure. Coffey has scored a bajillion goals. yeah, so like a look, for a team that's on the lower half of the table to take the win or to take the first 3 points off the league leaders like that is fantastic.
If you told me Dundalk was going to drop points in this fixture, I would have believed you. Like, I've been at a good few of their games lately. The UCD game was deplorably bad.
Yeah.
Who else was I at recently? I've been at a good few of them recently, and like, they've been so boring to watch. Like, really, really, really bad performances. So if you told me they're going to go up there and draw 0-0, I would have said, yeah, I can see that. But did I expect them to lose to Finn Harps? No.
But like, if they're playing that badly and, you know, they're only squeezing out, you know, a couple of like wins and stuff like that.
And see, this has been their problem all season long. Even when they were on a great run of wins, they're very, very rarely putting teams to bed. They did it once against Longford in the second half where they tore us apart. And they did it to Wexford at home in the second half where they were brilliant. And I was at that game and they were fantastic in the second half. Loads of other games, particularly the Treaty games, come to mind, particularly the one at home where they're 2-0 up with 4 minutes to go and end up drawing 2-2. They're leaving teams hanging around in games. When that happens, then results like this are going to pop up.
Yeah, it could only happen. Now, particularly that 2-0 one that you're talking about there against Treaty was particularly bad, particularly when the keeper handed them a lifeline in that game. Mm. But even when you look back at that, remember the last one they had was down in Wexford.
Yeah,
and they were behind in that game.
Yeah,
blessed is right. Yeah. So there's been a few instances of that where they're getting out of jail, and people say that's what happens when you're, you know, at the top of the table, winning most of your games and dominating most of the games, that it can come, like, it does help you out at times when you're having a bad game, but you can turn it on and go to that next level to win a game. But I suppose now, and I think I was saying it to you there yesterday, like, it's going to have to, and we probably said it a few weeks ago on the pod, in fact, I know it's pointless talking about next season, but like, let's say we all agree that Dundalk are going to win the league. What are they going to have to do in the off season to get anywhere near staying in the division next year? Like, it's going to, there's open heart surgery, and then it's what's going to have to happen to that playing squad.
Yeah, fully agree. But like, they're in a situation now where they just need to worry about getting up. And we were talking about,
maybe they have to get there first.
Like Dylan McGlade, if he signs, that, you know, what's he going to add the next season? They can't really worry, but they just have to get up. And it's in jeopardy now if they don't get a good result on Friday. So that's going to be a huge game. Be interested to see what the crowd's like, because crowds have really dropped off at Ori the last few games.
But this is the game. This is the game.
This is the one where everyone needs to come out.
This is the crux of the season.
Hmm. So Dundalk in the losers camp, obviously. Wexford as well, Gary, beaten by Longford. Bit of a miserable 0-0 draw then against Treaty. I think I said last week, what, 6 wins from 20 games? Playoffs looking in jeopardy. Bad start to the season.
Bad start to the season, yeah. Like, and, you know, they're only 2 points ahead of Longford. Now, I know Longford had a very good weekend.
Yeah.
But I suppose that's what's going to happen in the season where, you know, the whole thing has changed in the space of 4 game weeks. Do you know what I mean? You're catching teams like Longford Town. A few weeks ago, they had a bad couple of nights. They lost against Kerry, down in Kerry. And before that, they were slaughtered by Treaty. And then a few weeks later, we're talking about the best weekend of the season for Longford Town. 6 points, away win. Longford have been very good against Wexford in recent times. Anyway. Yeah. So I was glad that I went 1-0 Longford Town on the predictions. Thank you very much. But it wasn't that unexpected, to be honest.
Treaty battered them at times last night too. Like, that probably
should have been some of the chances were insane. Yeah. I'd say Tommy was quite disappointed with not coming away with 3 points there. Would have put them up close to Bray. But yeah, it hasn't been a good weekend, or not really a fantastic season.
No.
For Wexford, based on all the talk and this player is going to be the next this, and I think you're, what's your boy's name that you're, Caelum Harnett, is it, that you're raving about? I don't think there's much. I know he's a young player and everything like that, but I'm not, I think I would have expected a bit more from Wexford so far this season, and this has been another poor weekend for them.
Last night was Ian Ryan's third game in charge of Athlone. He's still waiting for a win. They had a 0-0 draw at home to Harps where they were poor, and then despite the fact, like, I suppose they could have got something out of that game last night, I think they were quite, they still don't look very put together, do they?
And some of their play was really nice at times. I thought Gilmore was good in midfield.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And Barlow.
Yeah, Caelum Barlow, yeah.
I thought they had a decent...
I felt very sorry for the young lad Sheeran to give away the penalty. It was his debut, and I actually thought he played very well. And it was strange seeing a lad playing centre-back with number 10 on his back, but thought he played well. Was a bit disappointed for him to give away the penalty, but...
Not really, no.
But yeah. You know what I mean? I felt a bit sorry for him, but... yeah, just... They're bottom now, and... Oh, yeah, I don't know what happens next with that loan. There's just... Doesn't seem like a functioning football club right now.
No, it doesn't. And like, even you know, some of the stuff last night was just like, Longford Town, like, they had probably missed two open goals, really. Yeah. Which would have done a good job. Like, what, like, that would have put Longford Town, I think, 2-0 or 1-0 up initially. And yeah, I just didn't see enough from them. You know, Kyle Robinson comes on and cracks the crossbar to try and pull the game out of fire. And they did create some chances. Like, Harry Halbach had to make a few saves. But in the second half, as the game went on, even though Longford were still behind, I thought they were becoming more dominant. And that loan just kind of, we have to defend like animals, but that'd be for another half an hour. It didn't seem like they had a full game plan as to what way would we be playing if the score is like this and, you know, Longford are on top, or what would we do? So yeah, not fantastic stuff from Athlone. There's no doubt about it. And I think it's going to, it'd be hard to see them picking themselves off the bottom. To be quite based on what we saw last night.
And Ian's former team, Bray, the slide has set in now, hasn't it?
Yeah, what happened to winning all the games all the time? Yeah, it's kind of just not been great the last little while. There's no question about that. Some of the results have been poor. Obviously, losing is poor, but, like, you know, 2-1 away to Kerry, a bad loss there. I think Kerry had scored in like the first 15 seconds or something like that on Friday. A loss away to Bray as well, or a lot away to Treaty, excuse me. So, and then they followed up last night for a home hammering against UCD. I thought they were quite poor last night as well, back to the defending that we might have seen when we were calling them limited every week. So yeah, but look, they're still in third, like, they've a 5-point gap the Treaty. I'd say they'll be able to hold it on for the rest of the season and be in the playoffs.
And just to wrap up this little First Division segment, teams that ended up in the middle of the road, Treaty 2 draws. Kerry, they had the win against Bray, and then they were beaten by Cove. And it's funny, because we only referenced it last week, didn't we? We were talking about that ridiculous goal they conceded against Bray early in the season, with the keeper booted it up in the air and then ran around and went missing. What the heck was he doing there last night?
Yeah, I'd say he just lost track of the ball in the air. And
he's small as well. Like, so, you know, when he needed to bail himself out with a bit of height and a bit of strength, he just didn't have it. Like,
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Because who did I interview after they played in Oriel? I interviewed, was it Gaxa? Don't know if that was that. I interviewed some of the Dundalk players anyway, and they mentioned that, you know, they had been told to target the keeper with long range shots and crosses.
Right. So okay.
That's a worry for Kerry now.
Yeah,
he's Lord, seen as a big weakness.
100%. That's something that needs to be rectified sooner rather than later.
Might be rectified in the summer, I wonder.
Yeah.
And then finally, UCD, bit of a Gattuso job. Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. 3-0 defeat against Cove, but then the win against Kerry. He's got the Italy job, hasn't he?
Has he?
Yeah. Yeah, he got the Italy job the other day, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Excuse me, Mac.
Get him on the pod, will he?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. ring up...
That'll be one way to replace Duff.
Gattuso.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ, the boys think that...
I have the thought they had it bad with
Duff. Yeah. He took us to places we didn't know we could go. Well, Gattuso will bring you there and further.
Right, let's go to the Between the Stripes LOI podcast predictions. Gary, take a bow. Brilliant performance last week. Out of the 10 games, you got a return in 8 of them.
Ooh.
You got two correct scores and then a load of correct results. So 12 points for you. Top scorer by a good bit last week. I was on 7 points last week. I got the Dundalk Treaty scoreline right, but that was the only correct score I got. And John Breyer, just goes to show when you're away from this game, it's hard. You know, you lose your touch. Only 4 points for poor old John. You got 4 correct results. So that leaves the table like this. I'm still bottom on 96. I'm nearly over the 100-point mark now. You're on 108, and the listeners are on 121. Playing this week?
Lad, how am I in a... Oh, never mind.
108. You're on. we have Max, your buddy and my buddy, Max, playing this week. It's a bit of cronyism going on here. Max is going to play. Big Ireland fan, travels home and away with Ireland, and big follower of Longford Town for the last few years as well, which is great to see. So let's see.
He was working abroad the last few months trying to get some international
talent funding. Spotting.
Who did your man? Is he Argentinian or Spanish?
Who?
The lad he was working with.
Oh, Spanish.
Oh, Spanish, yeah.
Yeah.
Crying bastard. But yeah. Please come and help us.
Right. Dundalk against Cove is where we'll start. The big one in the first division.
I don't think Dundalk will lose it, to be honest.
Here with this fixture is Cove have played them twice and haven't laid a glove on them.
That's exactly it. Haven't shown up. And I think that'll be a mental block for Cove and a mental positive for Dundalk. Look, it's your favourite team. What are you thinking?
I'm either leaning the way of a 1-0 Dundalk or a 0-0.
Same. I was going to say 2-1, but I don't think there's even... I don't think it's going to be even that exciting.
Max is going 2-2.
Just hope so.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I'm going to go 1-0 Dundalk.
Right, I go 0-0.
Okay.
Right, Athlone against Bray. The Ian Ryan derby.
Jesus. A team that can't buy... doesn't have, you know, 3 wins... Or they have 3 wins...
2-1 Bray. Even the goal they scored last night was lovely, wasn't it?
Okay.
I think so, yeah. They've still got some nice little players, not going well at the minute. I think they'll have a bit too much class here for Athlone.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not positive about that. I'm gonna go 0-0.
No, I think there'll be goals.
One-one.
Max going 2-1 to Bray there. Wexford against Cork.
Cork?
Maybe next season. Wexford against Kerry.
I'd have concerns here for Wexford. They're conceding. They were wasteful up front. But I think Kerry are just as wasteful. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Wexford.
2-1 win to Wexford. I'm going to go 1-1. Max going 2-1 Wexford. Treaty against Finn Harps. I think this will be tight.
This will be tight. I was encouraged by the amount of chances that Treaty created last night.
Yeah, same as that.
And I think... the like a David would be chomping at the bit here. 2-0 to Treaty.
Yeah, I was inclined to go something similar. Max going 2-1 Finn Harps. That's a surprising one. I think Treaty will win this 1-0. Longford Town against UCD. I'll give you Max's one here.
Yeah, I do.
He's obviously very enthused by what he's seen in the derby last night, not only in terms of the victory for Longford, but the entertainment value. He thinks this is going to be a 7-goal thriller going Longford Town's way 4-3.
What? Yeah. Good man, Max. Jeannie, Mac, I don't see a score in 4.
Could have scored that many last night, to be fair.
Yeah, no, it was a humdinger. Well, we got 3, so it wasn't too bad. And we had 2, you know, chances that right in front of goal that should have been slotted away. Yeah, I was really encouraged by the Town performance. I think UCD can be got at. I know they can play some ball, but...
I think they'll keep the ball better than Athlone did. So it might be just harder for Longford to maybe impose themselves on UCD. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw, but I think Longford can do it.
I'm going to go 1-0 Town.
Lovely. Okay. Right, into the Premier Division, and Cork City are still there for now. They take on St. Pat's, and this is a game where they have to really be thinking about trying to get some points on the board.
And is this down in Turner's Cross?
His.
Pat's made a hames of that earlier on in the season, didn't they?
Or did they that was a home. A home they needed a Jamie Lennon 90-something minute winner, yeah.
Oh, aye. I think, look, Cork have to be targeting Pat's, obviously. Well, they have to target everything, but they really need to be targeting this game. They'll be boosted by the late equaliser. Yeah, I could see them winning this.
No, I can't see it.
Why?
I'm going Pat's 1-0.
Well, actually, just when you say that, I saw some bloke tweeting there that while Pats have been dire, they've been, I think only their, have they done a job twice in Cork this season, I think? They only have 8 wins. And I think like some of the, I think some of their wins were only against dirt below them.
Yeah, I don't think, I definitely read a tweet as well about their record against the top 4 teams above them, whatever, and it's appalling. So,
yeah,
that doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, 1-0 Pats for me.
Yeah, saying that, actually, if they do a job and the teams below them all the time, why wouldn't it be this time? Mm. I'm going to go for a 1-1 here, though.
Okay, Max going 2-1 to St. Patrick's Athletic. Galway United against Shelburne. Galway will be relishing this.
Jesus, how do you prepare for this one? From a Galway perspective,
that's true. Yeah, that throws a bit of a spanner in the works, all right.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get. Like, you're looking at, you know, game tape and stuff like that, and sure, it could be completely different. I'm going to say that Galway can do it here. There'll be a bit of disarray. It's settling now. All the boys are texting other in the WhatsApp groups all week. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Galway.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you on that. And Max is going 1-0 to Shelburne. Derry against Drogheda. This will be a real telling sign of has the stuffing been knocked out of Drogheda? Because I think we wouldn't, looking at this before the whole European thing, we'd look at this fixture and say, they'll go up there, nothing to fear. We can fancy them to get something.
Yeah.
I know they've responded well this week, but this is, you know, they're going up to Derry, who've got a bit of form behind them in recent weeks. This is a big test still. Can they, you know, if they concede an early goal, can they show the character to come back? All the rest. This is a big test to draw out of now and trying to stay in those European places.
Aye, it is. Especially after the 2 wins.
Mm.
And 2 away wins. Good down in Dublin. I'm going to say... I'm going to say 1-1 here. This will be a different test for Derry. What's Max gone?
He's gone 1-1 as well.
There you go.
Like, I always think back to the cup final, how well organised they were. Like, they just kept Duffy quiet and that was the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Can they do the same here? Like, they're taking some pacings up there, but they've won up there as well in recent years, so... I just have the feeling everything's going to catch up with them. Derry 1-0 for me. Bowes against Sligo.
Oh, this is a tough one here. I think Sligo will be boosted a bit from the win last night against Galway.
The one thing we do know is this won't be a draw.
Correct. I think Bose will have too much for them, to be honest. I'm going to go 2-0
to Bose. 2-0 to Bose. 1-1 from Max. And I'm going to go 2-1 to Bose here. Wouldn't be surprised if they get a late winner. Rovers against Waterford to round it up.
Rovers to get back to winning ways. I'm going to go 3-1 to Shamrock Rovers.
Waterford have often given them problems, even you think back to the last day of last season where it looked like Rovers were going to blow it. Padraig Amon got a couple, didn't he? And then Rovers got the winner, but then Shelburne obviously got the goal and Derry to win the league. So Waterford have given them problems. Rovers off the back of a Derby defeat. Waterford off the back of good showing against Shelburne. Could be a good game, this one. I'm going to go 3-2 to Shamrock Rovers.
Very good. What about Max?
2-1 to Shamrock Rovers.
Across the board, yeah. Fair enough.
Right, time for the BTS hotline. Let's see what our listeners have had to say. There's a new League of Ireland Twitter account following us called LOI Ref Watch. No red cards across the two divisions last Friday. They must have noticed the new page. That'll be one to keep an eye on. If they are actually going to do in-depth reports on refs, I'm not sure. But yeah, particularly poor performance from the ref in El Clasico last night. Both our teams could be headed for the playoffs. Oh, Jesus. Zaki, Longford Town back to winning ways. That is all. Thank you. And for the first time ever, we've got a club engaging with the hotline. Cove Ramblers, they've just got a meme of a big bear waving at us. So.
Oh.
Yeah,
Cove. Thanks very much, Cove. Yeah.
Get on the bus. Get up to Oriel. It's a big one. It is a big one. Ronan McGinley, desperate night for Gary. Derry and Bowes winning. And Rory Feely back in the league.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Fair play to... Who said that?
That was my reply. I actually said, the fact you remembered his love for Feely tells yeah. what a loyal listener
yeah,
you are.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks very much. Yeah, that's bizarre. Who did he sign with?
Cork.
Oh. Oh, God. Yeah, surprising. Well, probably not surprising either. It was surprising that he got a move out of the league. It was probably more surprising, but there you go. Yeah, he's a big job in his hands down there.
Adam says, is Kenny out becoming a real threat of Pat's?
I don't think so, really. I think the point about getting rid of the dirt in the squad that was mentioned earlier, I think he'll get a go at that, to be honest.
And like, he's got the capital. He's probably one of the few managers that would have the capital to do that. Like, he goes to the owner and says, I want a clear out here. I'm going to get rid of five or six lads and some of the big name players. Then it's more than likely the owner will say, you do what you want. Whereas if another manager did that, it might be like, oh, hang on now. We've, you know, this lad's on a big contract. And, you know, I think he'll have the freedom to do that if he wants. Kian says, that FIFA loading screen of forfeit season.
Yeah.
He just says Athlone.
Think so. That's right. Yeah, great for the real town to get one over on Athlone after so long. So well deserved.
Shane Bell, Dundalk are overrated and poor, and I've said it all season. Harps have had some serious good young players coming through. Corey Sheridan making his debut on Friday in goals and his home debut tonight, 2 clean sheets. Yeah, we referenced him earlier. Patrick says Longford Town on for promotion. Of course, they snuck into them playoff places a few years ago under Darragh Doyle, and the rest is history. Lee Conroy, our Drogs having the best underdog years in League of Ireland history. Cup win followed by second place in the league more than halfway through. Few more bodies added in the summer can secure us the top four.
Yeah. Like, it all hinges on like how the Europe situation much it derails. You know, like you're looking at
the only thing, it could be a positive in some ways in terms of, I think Kevin Doherty will get extra finances now this summer to make up for what's going on.
Yeah, but why weren't they there anyway? Like those finances are coming from Trivella, right? Because we made a bollocks of it, we're going to pay off, essentially. Why wasn't that money there anyway? I don't want to hear about, oh, we're sorry, here's some money. That you're the owners of this bloody club. Make it successful. That's bollocks, like.
Lee also says, can you stop saying Kevin is going to leave Drogheda, please, lads? And thanks Gary. Yeah. And thanks, Gary, for forcing Duff out the door.
Yeah, well, I'd say there's been sports newsrooms around Dublin in dire straits all weekend. Crisis talks. They're probably all texting them now to see who can get an interview. Who will get the exclusive?
FF Robinson, Dundalker, a very limited side. You could easily see Cove overtaking them on Friday. A hard fought but well deserved win for Harps, and one we needed. Wang Dang, I suppose that's another two shite performances from Derry for Gary.
Oh yeah, I think I liked that tweet. It was great to hear from Derry fans again. I don't really need to check the results of Derry. You know, you hear about them. They're very quiet when they're shite and lose games. Interesting.
Thomas Tormey, where does Sunday leave Duffer as regards the Ireland job? Resigning before Europe is surely a bad look. Plus, he has no European record to speak of now, whereas the Conference League was and is there for Shells.
I don't really think it does make a blind bit of difference. Like, the FEI in the process of hiring them a manager probably wouldn't even look at what he achieved with Shells, I'd say. Maybe that's been a bit harsh, but you know, it's kind of like the job you had 12 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever, you drop it off the CV. Like, I don't think they'll look at it, to be quite honest.
Well, look, Duffer's gone. That's it.
Yeah. Shinny. Would it be very sad now that he's gone?
Yep. It'll do a bit of damage to our Twitter numbers for sure.
Yeah. Well, that seems to be the only reason that people were talking to him at all. So, yeah. Look, the league will still be there. I think it's still going to be on the up. A lot of people going that they're...
RT showing the Shells first leg as well, which is good to see.
Yeah, I think both games are going to be streamed at the BBC, so...
Heard that, all right.
Yeah, so... I know, like, fanfare or anything like that. Oh, we're just going to do it because that's what's going to be done, instead of the bullshit from RTE. I appreciate that they're doing it, but they're going on as if like they're doing everybody a favor.
Yeah. Right. No, that's it. It's nearly a quarter past one here, so we're going to leave it there. Series 9, episode 19 of Between the Stripes LOA podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Tommy Barrett for joining us on the podcast. Make sure you're following us on Twitter, X, and on TikTok as well. We'll be back again next week. Duffer won't, unfortunately, but we will be. Until then, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favorite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.